And welcome to Plains Presbyterian Church. Our first reading this morning is from the longest book in the Bible, so get comfortable. Psalm 119, which has 176 verses. And if you go to the Bible and you find it on page 534, you'll have to leaf a few pages until you get to Psalm 120. It actually is right after Psalm 117, which is the shortest book in the Bible. It's only two verses long, but we didn't pick from that today, did we? We are reading verses 105 to 112 from Psalm 119 this morning, so I invite you to listen to God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word written for our ears this morning, Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to observe thy righteous ordinances. I am sorely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept my offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me thy ordinances. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget the law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from thy precepts. Thy testimonies are my heritage forever, yea, they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform thy statutes forever to the end. Since our first reading.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thy word is a lamp unto our feet. Help us to hear these words and let it shed light upon our pathway. Enlighten our hearts, embolden our steps, so that we may profess and know that you are our Lord and Redeemer. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Our gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, as found on pages 846 and 847 of your Pew Bible. And this is the parable of the sower. Let us hear these words. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat there. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some a hundredfold. Some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the word of the Lord. It's been a long time since this church was filled with farmers. My parents grew up on a farm, but I did not. I grew up in Los Angeles. So you are probably like me, that as you listen to this parable, we're a little bit distanced from the life of a farmer. But we can all relate to this parable. We often listen to this parable in reference to our own lives. We probably see ourselves as being the fortunate ones where the seed of faith fell on good ground, which grew into a healthy crop of 160 or 30-fold. If we are honest with ourselves, perhaps we're not bearing fruit 100-fold, but at least 30. Certainly our lives are not like those upon the seed of rocky and shallow soil. When we look at our lives and compare it to the lives of others, we are in danger of falling under the principle of the fundamental attribution error. What this tells us is that as humans, when we hear something, we are far more likely to be more generous in explaining away our own faults than we are the faults of others. We rather point the finger at others rather than see where our own sin lies. While others might exist on rocky soil, certainly we do not live on rocky soil. Understanding the fundamental attribution error is important so that we can see ourselves truly as we are. And we can also understand others with compassion. Each of us finds times that we are in different types of soil. Sometimes our lives are like the seed falling on the pathway. Our lives are too busy, and we do not take time to receive God's word. How many of us find time each day to listen and read God's word, let alone once a week here in worship? We are so busy, and there are 100 reasons why we are pulled away from listening to God's word. I am not here to pass judgment upon your schedules, but our culture and family pressures seem to me pulling us apart. We need to be careful not to let the evil one distract us from what is truly important. One of my favorite books is The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. It's a fictional book about a demon named Screwtape writing to a lower demon, his nephew, called Wormwood. Screwtape is giving his nephew advice about how he should deal with his patient, how to keep the patient from living a good faith. Screwtape encourages his nephew to be patient, but to keep his patient distracted through pleasure, through work, even good times. Anything to keep him focused away from matters of the soul. I find myself often getting distracted these days. There are other times in our lives where the Word of God falls upon rocky soil. Perhaps we hear the Word of God and we accept it with joy, but we have no root in order to let the Word flourish. Especially when persecution or strife comes our way. Perhaps we see something at home that needs to be changed. Something in our workplaces. God has placed something upon our hearts in order for us to change. But when we introduce that change or try to change our behavior, others criticize us. And we quickly go back to the way we once were. Others might even agree with us that there is a problem. But when we try to start something new, they quickly sabotage our efforts. If our roots are shallow, we will give up. It is easier to return back to the way things were instead of challenging the status quo. It is important whenever we find ourselves in rocky soil to stay connected to one another so that we are rooted in our faith through the fellowship of fellow Christians. We need the Spirit to strengthen us, even as people criticize our new behavior. As fellow Christians, we need to lift up those who are trying to live a new life, who are trying to be more Christ-like. We do not need to tell others, oh, you don't have a drinking problem. Or everyone else cheats on their taxes, so why are you worried about it? It is too convenient to take the easy way out. But as Christ's followers, we are called to speak the truth in love. And sometimes that means speaking the truth to ourselves. Even if our new behaviors cause others to feel uncomfortable. If we are encouraging change, we need to find others deeply rooted, those that can help us weather the scorching sun, those that can pray for us and encourage us. We need to stay connected. And we need to stay connected even to those who challenge our new behaviors. We were once like them until we received the word upon our hearts. When someone reacts to our change, it is only natural for us to want to reel back, to react. But it is in those times that we feel drawn away that we are actually called to lean into others. For if we stay connected and persevere, they will understand our convictions better. And perhaps they might even change themselves. But if we argue with those who disagree with us, we only validate the reasons not to change. God comes to us in relationship. And in relationship, we need to hold each other accountable. Sometimes the Word of God falls among thorns. How often have we found ourselves lured away from the Word of God by the worries of this world? Yet each week we pray the Lord's Prayer saying, give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Each week we ask God to provide us not what we want, but what we require. no more and no less. God does not promise us an easy, perfect life. There are going to be worries, and there's going to be obstacles. To receive the word of God is to trust God that he will provide, even in the midst of trial and temptation. As mainline Presbyterians, we are often tempted towards relying more upon our wealth and prestige to see us through rough times rather than God. But this is a trap luring us away from God's word. As a church, our greatest treasure, our greatest riches are found in one another. It is not found in the number of wealthy members or our endowments, but in the time that we share in the image of Christ that is born on each of us. Our faith in God will endure and keep us strong. It is these riches which can never be taken away. And there are times when the word falls upon good soil. It is a time when we hear God's word and it produces much fruit. But we don't have to be stuck with bad soil. When I lived in Wisconsin, my neighbor across the way had a beautiful lawn. I was envious of his lawn. He had put a lot of time and money into his lawn. Time and money which I refused to spend. Originally, we had begun with the same soil. But then he brought in good topsoil and good seed. He invested in a sprinkler system which watered his lawn through the hot summer. He also thatched and aerated and fertilized his lawn. It is not rocket science to understand why his lawn looked so much better than mine. Wouldn't it be great if we as a church took care of people as well as my neighbor took care of his lawn? If we invested our time and money helping our community to grow in faith, if we tilled the ground before us, help them to remove the rocks in their lives and provide the nutrients of faith that they're required to be healthy. Is that, after all, not the purpose of the church? I think about the young children that will come next week in order to celebrate and hear the word of God. I am thankful that you have set aside time for them to hear that word, to till the ground before them so that they can grow up in faith. We are called to till the soil of faith within our homes and within our workplaces. When others look at our faith, do they see the fruits of our labor? Do they see Christ at work in us? Do they see a bountiful harvest waiting to be collected? Or do they see a tired and worn out soul? If we are men and women of faith, hope, and love, they will see that there is something different in our lives. And we will be sower of God's goodwill and word out into the community. So friends, wherever you find yourself, whether it be on rocky or thorny ground. We do not have to be satisfied with our condition. We can yet till the ground. And we can till the ground of those around us. Till it until it is good soil, so that the seeds of faith can become deep-rooted within our lives. Let us daily seek the nutrients of faith by praying regularly, reading God's Word, and let our lives be watered by the spring that flows from the river of life found in Jesus Christ. For when this happens, the seed will fall on good soil, and it will produce a bountiful harvest of 30, 60, or even 100-fold. Amen.